So this morning, for a little while, I want to share a message that I'm going to call God's Agenda. God's Agenda. God's Agenda. My Bible is open in Proverbs chapter 3. Could you go there with me, please? Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Verse 5 of Proverbs 3 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. And notice these words: lean not on your own understanding. Notice, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, acknowledge the Lord. What will happen? He shall direct your paths, or He will make things straight, plain, or smooth. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. That means have an awe of God, have a reverence for God. Hold Him in high regard, high respect. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh. It will be health to your body. And strength to your bones. Praise the Lord. Let me say this by way of introduction. God has always had an agenda for every person that He's ever created. There's never a person that God created for whom He didn't have an agenda. No person was ever born and God had to say, now what should I do with this one? I wonder what I can do with him. There was never, and I'm being very reverent when I say that if God called the Trinity together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they never had an occasion to say, now what should we do with this man? What should we do with this woman? God always has an agenda. God had an agenda for His people, the children of Israel. And His agenda was to get them out of Egypt and set them free from 400 years of slavery, set them free from bondage, set them free from suffering, and bring them into the promised land, the land of Canaan. Now let me say something very important. You may have heard this before. It's not new with me. It was easy for God to get His people out of Egypt, but it was very difficult for God to get Egypt out of His people. And that's the problem with God's people today. In a sense, it's easy to get them into new birth, get them out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, but they keep a bit like Lot's wife, looking back, going back, still mixing with the world, and doing the things of the world, and that did not ought to be. Paul says, don't be conformed to the world. J.D. Phillips says, don't allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. No way. So, the children of Israel, easy to get them out of Egypt, but it was difficult to get Egypt out of the people. Why do I say that? Numbers 11, verse 5, the Bible says, this is the children of Israel talking now. They say, we remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, and the cucumbers, and the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. Numbers 21, verse 5. The people spoke against God and they spoke against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and there is no water, and our soul, listen, our soul loathes, hates, despises. Our soul loathes this worthless bread. Exodus 14, 11. The people said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Not an ounce of faith. These people, they were faithless, absolutely faithless. And the whole journey from Egypt to Canaan, it should have taken around 11 days. How long did it take them? It took them 40 years. My brother, my sister, if you remember nothing else that I say this morning in this brief message, please remember this. God can take you from A, right through the alphabet, right to Z. He can take you there very quickly if you and I are willing to say, yes, Father. Like Mary, the Virgin, the mother of Jesus, said when the angel said, you shall bear a son, you shall call his name Jesus. And you read in Luke chapter 1, and the Bible says Mary's response to the angel, once he had explained to her how this miracle could be, because she had never had intercourse, how on earth could she have a baby? Her and Joseph were honorable in their relationship. And the angel explained that the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, would envelop her, and the child that would be born of her would be as a result of the power of the Holy Spirit, and the child would be called the Son of God. This is what she said. She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And that's what God wants from each one of his children. My brother, my sister, the sooner you and I can come to that place, the sooner we'll be out of bondage into freedom. Hallelujah. Out of darkness into light. Out of depression into joy. Out of worry into faith. And I could go on and on for sake of time. I'm not this morning. Be it unto me according to your word. Yes, Father, your agenda, your will. Amen. The children of Israel, they were fearful. They were faithless, they were ungrateful, they were discontented, and they murmured. Yet look very briefly. Look at the miraculous delivery that they had, the miraculous deliverance, rather, that they had. God called and commissioned a gentleman who was 80 years of age, out looking after some sheep. 80 years of age. God came to him. You know the story, I'm sure, if you know the book of Exodus and how God appeared to him in the burning bush and all of that. And God commissioned Moses to go into Egypt, where he'd run away from 40 years previously. "Go back," says God, "because I'm going to use you to deliver my people from bondage and slavery." Moses' attitude was, "Who, me? I can't speak properly. I'm so slow of speech." Many believe he had a stammer. God said, "I'm not interested in that. I'll send Aaron. He can speak well." And every obstacle that Moses put up, God dealt with. Hallelujah. God was really saying, "Moses, it's not about you. It's about me." Hallelujah. And friend, this morning, it's not about you. It's about God. It's not about tiny little insignificant me. It's about a great almighty God, who, if you and I would say yes to, he'll do amazing things above and beyond and exceeding all we can ask or think. Hallelujah. So this miraculous deliverance, God made a way where there was no way. There's a word for somebody, either here or listening by means of the internet right now. There's a word for you. God is the God that makes a way where there is no way. He did it for the children of Israel. And the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea on dry land. Number two, there's a miraculous provision. Nehemiah 9:15. The Bible says, "You gave them, Lord, you gave your people, you gave them bread from heaven when they were hungry, and you brought forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst." Do you realize what a miracle there was there? You see, the bread, the manna that God provided for them every day, the only day he didn't give them fresh manna was on the Sabbath. They had to store it for that day. But every day otherwise, it was thy daily bread, my daily bread. It was fresh manna every day. And the people loathed it. They hated it. They despised it. That's why they wanted to go back to Egypt. Imagine. Back to bondage. Back to slavery. Rather than trust God. What they did not realize was that that bread was more than manna. It was more than bread. That bread, the Bible says, was a type of Jesus Christ, who is what? He is the bread of life. Amen. So every time those children of Israel put a piece of bread to their mouth, instead of putting, "Yuck, I'm fed up with this," they didn't realize they were rejecting Jesus Christ by their stupidity. We need to be careful. I think it's marvelous. The Bible's exciting. And then how about the water? Water from the rock? I may be Irish, but I don't normally get water from rocks. But the children of Israel did. You see, our God's a miraculous God. He's a supernatural God. He's an amazing God. He can do anything. Hallelujah. And did you know that when Moses struck the rock just once, did you know that water came out? What was that a type of? What was that talking about? Well, Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. Paul says, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Did Jesus not say, the water that I give you shall spring up in you to eternal life? Jesus said to the woman at the well, you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. You drink of the water that I give you, and you'll never thirst again. And so the bread spoke of Jesus, the bread of life, and the water spoke of the living water that Jesus Christ provides, that satisfying water that he provides. When the children of Israel could not drink the water at Marah because the water was bitter, God told Moses to throw in a tree, small tree, and when Moses threw in that tree into the water was cleansed, the water was purified. What was that tree speaking of? That tree was speaking of the cross. Hallelujah. And when the cross is applied to your life and mine, it deals with the bitterness. It takes away the bitterness. And we know then a life of sweetness. The bitterness goes. We forgive. The bitterness goes. And the water that comes from us is no longer bitter. Not talking about natural water, I'm talking about spiritual water. The things we say out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, says the word of God. The things that we speak, the things that we share, will be life-giving things. Hallelujah. Because we've applied the cross to our lives. And then in Nehemiah 9:21, God's provision was absolutely amazing according to the Bible. Nehemiah 9:21, listen to this. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness, so that they, that's the children of Israel, so that they lacked nothing. Look at this. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. Hallelujah! Amen. I'm believing for that. Will you? Some people bless them, they suffer with retention of water and swollen feet. I know he said swelled feet. Swollen feet, bless them. And you see them, some of them, you're out and about, and their poor legs are like tree trunks. Well, I believe God can touch anyone. I believe God can heal anyone. And I pray people listening to me now by means of the internet, when they listen to this recording, maybe you're suffering from some of those things. I pray in the name of Jesus that as you listen, the Lord will touch you. The Lord will heal you. He'll cause his resurrection life to flow within your body and make you whole and cause your kidneys to work and cause everything in your body to work properly and bring your body into divine order in the name of Jesus. And I pray you'll see your thick legs, you'll see them reducing to normal size in the name of Jesus. And you'll be able to wear normal size shoes, hallelujah. And you'll be able to kick up your heels in the air again in the name of Jesus. I believe it with all my heart that God who did it for the children of Israel, he can do it for you. He can do it for me. He can do it for anyone listening. Hallelujah. He's the same God. He says, I am the Lord God. I change not. He's not the God that was. He is the I am. He's the God that was, the God that is, the God that ever will be. The same yesterday, today. Hallelujah. You couldn't have chosen a better text. Yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same and God is the same. Hallelujah. But how about that? No need for marks and spots. No need for hop, wherever it is, I'm thinking of Top Shop. No need for those. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. Their clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. How about that? That marvelous? That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? Deuteronomy 29 and verse 5. God said this to his people. He said, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out from you. And look at this. And your sandals have not worn out on your feet. Clothes that lasted 40 years. Bring it on. Amen. And give your money to the Lord's work instead. Shoes, sandals that lasted for 40 years. How about it? You know, no one said, you're still wearing those same shoes. I saw those 40 years ago. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve.
you know, if I time, I'm breaking the song right now. That song, what a mighty God we serve. Anyway, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. I forgot the next bit. Everybody adore him, worship and adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Good, thank you. Wonderful. So miraculous provision. Fantastic. And he's the same God. How about marvelous, miraculous health service? Many people complain about the National Health Service. Well, I've been in hospital a few times, and I have to say, hand on heart, heart referred, I have to say, they were the best. They looked after me so well. Absolutely. And I thank God for them. They were really marvelous. If you've had a bad experience, seriously, I am sorry. I pray that next time you have to go to hospital, if you have to go, I pray that they'll look after you. Pray they'll look after you well. Ask God to supervise all your care and take care of you in Jesus' name. But the children of Israel, they had a miraculous health service. How about this? The Bible says when they were bitten by snakes, God told Moses to make a serpent of brass. Put the serpent of brass on a pole. And he said, everyone who's been bitten instead of dying, just look and live. What wonderful words. Look and live. Can I ask you this morning, have you looked to Jesus Christ? He is the only Savior. He is the only way. He is the only mediator. His is the only name through which you can find salvation. Have you looked to him? You say, Jim, I am a Christian, but you're sick. Have you looked to Jesus? Look to him. Look and live. Amen. You say, Pastor Jim, I suffer from depression. So did I in 1958. I tried to end my life. I've never been depressed from that day to this. Why have I not been depressed? Because I'm so impressed with Jesus. Hallelujah. Instead of going down, I go up. Hallelujah. And I don't live by feelings. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. None else is worth believing. If I'm ever tempted to be down, I use the remote, the spiritual remote, and I change channel. Hallelujah. I get off the devil's channel and get onto God's channel. I don't mean the God channel. I get into the Word. I switch on the Word. Thy Word is a lamp to my feet, and it's a light to my path. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to speak on Sunday on depression because it's a big issue in many lives. I know so many people are down, so many people are depressed, and they've been like that for years. I believe in a moment of time, things can change, and they can come out of depression, and into joy, and into liberty, and into freedom. Amen? I believe it with all of my heart, and I long to see that happening in people's lives. But this marvelous, miraculous health service, whoever looked at that bronze serpent, they lived. And what was the serpent on the pole all about? Well, it pointed to Christ on another tree. It pointed to Christ on the cross. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, finish it. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Look and live, I say. Look and live. God's miraculous health service was the best. Psalm 105 and verse 37. He, that is God, look at this. He brought them, that's the children of Israel. He brought them forth also, notice, with silver and gold. They asked the Egyptian before they left, give us some gold, give us some silver. And the Egyptian was so glad to get rid of them in the end, they gave them gold and silver. Why? Because it would be useful for building the tabernacle, building the temple in years to come. However, he that is God brought them forth also with silver and gold. Notice, there was not one feeble person among their tribes. How about that? Amen. Divine health service. Brothers and sisters, I believe there are too many of God's people sick. I do. They're sick. You ring them. Hello, how are you? You're expecting. Oh, I'm fine, Jim. Thank you. No. Oh. I can't be on the phone long because of, I think, poor darling. Last week they're up, this week they're down, like a jack in the box. Poor darlings. Always something. Get rid of one thing. You say, hello. You're almost nervous saying, hello. How are you? Oh, I'm feeling much better. Glory, hallelujah. You ring in an hour or two. Oh, I think, dear Lord, oh, that you would so move in people's lives by your mighty power. Lord, if it's a spirit of infirmity, that thing will be taken out of their life forever in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Too many of God's people are suffering. When we go to Ireland, if they haven't died, some of our close friends, they're already in the box in the grave, and so we're going to be visiting graveyards part of the time because they're gone. Well, we know where they are, but they're not there anymore. And others, we ring them. Ruth rang one or two last night. Several friends. Dear Lord, is anybody left who's going to be okay? It's really sad, not minimizing the seriousness of it. I want to see God's people well. I want to see God's people free. I don't want to see any of you sick.
Amen.
I don't want to have to come to hospital and visit you. I want God to touch you. I want God to heal you. I want God to deal with anything that's challenging you physically, that in the name of Jesus, God will eradicate it. Sister Sylvia is due to have a knee replaced, or even a couple of knees replaced in September. I said to her this morning, who knows? Between now and then, God can touch you. As you sit in a service, God's able to. I've heard amazing things. I've heard of people getting eyes where they only had empty sockets. I've heard of women getting wounds where there was no wound. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I've heard of people growing longer legs. I've heard amazing things. Hallelujah. Oh God, that you might do it in Wellspring. That this place might be packed with men and women, not coming to meet Jim, but coming to meet Jesus. Not coming to hear Jim, but coming to hear the word of God. And coming, not just to sing and do the normal things, sitting in rows like cabbages. And I'm not complaining. Please keep coming, cabbages. He's calling me a cabbage now. Please keep coming. I don't mean you're a cabbage. Let me get out of this room. I'm still digging. You know what I mean. In other words, I want to see God moving. You know what I mean, don't you? I want to see God moving. I want to see people getting saved, people getting healed. Brother Arnold often says he hasn't seen a soul saved in Wellspring in years. Let's change that in the name of Jesus. Not because I'm here, but because Jesus is here. Let's see souls saved. Let's see bodies healed. Let's see people's lives completely changed through the power of Jesus Christ. This marvelous health service, not one person feeble. Oh God, do it for the members of Wellspring in Jesus' name. And how about Moses, Pastor Moses, who led 2.5 to 3 million people out of Egypt? What a bunch they were, always murmuring, always complaining, nothing was right, wanted to go back. Thanks a bunch. I'm so glad to be in Wellspring and not to be leading the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 34:7, Moses was 120 years old when he died. Yes. That's my man. Notice this. He did not need specsavers. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. Hallelujah. Why can't we believe for that? Why can't we believe for that, brothers and sisters? Why can't we believe what God's word says? Your youth will be renewed like the eagles. Why can't we believe what God's word says? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why don't we believe God's word? The Lord is the strength of my life. Why don't we believe God's word? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Why don't we say with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. And I'm sure there must be other scriptures, but I'm running out of time rapidly. Maybe you're asking the question, Pastor Jim, what has all this got to do with me? Children of Israel, wilderness, serpents, bitter waters, shoes didn't wear out for 40 years, clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. What's all that got to do with me? Answer, everything. Because the God who delivered the children of Israel is the same God who has delivered or will deliver you. Amen?
Amen.
that God has made a way for the children of Israel when there was no way is the same God who will make a way for you. The God who provided for every need that the children of Israel have is the same God that will meet every need that you have according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, if you and I will simply follow his leading and walk in the center of his will and let him carry out his agenda in our lives. Let me say this very important. You are not an accident. You are not the wrong gender. Sometimes I hear parents say, oh, she was a surprise. We were wanting a boy, but we got you. Thanks a bunch, Mum. You are not the wrong gender. You are not. God planned you. He never makes a mistake. Listen to this. You were on God's mind before he laid the foundations of the world. Ephesians 1:4. He, that is God, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You were in God's mind. You were on God's mind before you were in your mother's womb. How about that? Do you know that? You were on God's mind before he laid the foundations of the world. You were on God's mind before you were in your mother's womb. One scripture, Jeremiah 1:5. God came to Jeremiah and he said this, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. How about that? People have this argument today. Millions of babies are being murdered every day in abortion. And I'm not here to judge and condemn anyone. Not at all. That's not my heart at all. If you say, Pastor Jim, that I had an abortion, can God forgive me? Yes, God can forgive you. If you say, Father, I am sorry, forgive me. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse you from all sin. Hallelujah. And you can get up and move on. And God will never bring that thing up again. Amen. So I'm not judging anyone, not condemning anyone. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the lust of the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. But listen to this, people who say, well, when does life start? If life starts, the question, when does life start? But look, before the foundation of the world, God had you in mind, and he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. When does life start? The moment God puts the Spirit into that little embryo. There's where life starts. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. How about this? Psalm 139:13. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version, if I may. I have it in both translations, but for sake of time. David the psalmist says this, all my days. Let me go back, because I haven't got the whole verse in the Amplified, let me backtrack, if I may, to verse 13 of Psalm 139. You formed, says David, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Here it is. In your book, they were all written. What was written? The days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. Here's the Amplified. All my days, or all the periods of my life, were outlined in your book. That is, when my substance, my form, was not yet developed, when yet an embryo, and when nothing could be determined from that by the eye of man as to what I was to be. All the future was known to God and was written down. Just what should be my form and vigor, how long I should live, what I should be, and what would be the events of my life. That's God's agenda for you. That's God's agenda for me. The Apostle Paul spoke about this. He said in Galatians 1:15, he said, it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. As I close this morning, question, what is God's agenda for you? What is God's agenda for you, my brother, my sister, my friend, listening by means of recording? Jeremiah 29:11. Here's God's agenda for you. God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. Here are my thoughts, here are my plans, here's my agenda to give you a future and a hope. And I finish with this scripture and we'll pick it up another time. Isaiah 55:8. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than yours. Friend, may I invite you not to live on a lower level than God created you for. God created you with a perfect plan, a wonderful plan. Paul says the will of God is good, it's perfect, it's acceptable. God has a great agenda for you. Say, Pastor Jim, oh, I feel like I've gone away from the Lord. I've messed up God's agenda. God is the God of the second chance. Well, I'm not saying he's going to wind the clock back to 20 years, 30 years ago. No, he'll start right where you are. And from this point on, he will lead you. He will guide you. He'll undertake for you. And these last years can be the best years of your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We will pick it up again, part 2, another time.